My name is Lyndon Burton, a.k.a. Youngboy Terry McGinnis, a.k.a. Youngboy DeWitz, a.k.a. the People's Champ. And we're here on a Sunday afternoon. I'm here with my co-host, Cam Jam. Hey. And we're here with two rappers. They go by the name of Krissa and Fade. Thank you guys for coming on the Bros Who Think podcast. How you guys doing today, man?
Cooling, man. Yeah, cooling, man. In the fucking zone.
I'm excited, man. This is the first time I met y'all, but I've been hearing about y'all for a while. Like, we both are in the music-making sphere, and, like, y'all are some of the few rappers in Lafayette that I fuck with. Like, y'all go hard. I like y'all mission. I see y'all at shows. Like, y'all do y'all thing. Y'all kill it.
Nick, I appreciate it, y'all, man.
Work with my guy, Nick, our engineer, so we had to. It's family, bro. Like, y'all just, like, y'all, like, basically the way I look at it is if, like, we're like Shikamaru's group, y'all are like Naruto's group, or like we're like Naruto's group. Like, y'all Shikamaru's group. It's like some family shit, bro.
We all different teams in the same village, man.
Exactly. Exactly. But if y'all are ready, we can get into this interview, my guy.
Let's go.
Word up. So let's start off. We're gonna start off with music before we get in to know y'all. So like I said, I love that y'all stay true to y'all's content. I listened to y'all's Tsunami tape, which was the most recent thing that y'all put out. What do you think is the biggest challenge for yourselves and upcoming artists, would you say? Because some people like to form to the sound, but y'all stay true to yourself. Like, y'all's lyrics, y'all aren't traditional rappers. Y'all stay true to y'all. So what is the most difficult thing for you guys, you think, in upcoming rappers?
Ooh, I don't know, man. I listen to a lot of shit, you know what I'm saying? And being like a student of music, it's like kind of, not saying it's kind of hard. Matter of fact, it's kind of easy to kind of fall into the wave of things that's going on around you.
100%.
But the thing about it is, you got to stay current, but at the same time, you got to like stay true to yourself. Like, I never make music thinking about what other people are going to, how people are going to take it in. You know what I'm saying? 100%. I just make music thinking about what I would want to listen to. Because at the end of the day, I want to make shit I want to jam. If I make a song and I don't like it and I don't want to listen to it, it's pointless. I only make shit that I feel like I would jam, because I know there's more people out there like me that would jam it. So 100%. It's like, you got to try to stay...
That is awesome.
Year zone, you know what I'm saying?
That is awesome. I think that question is I think that response is the best response. Like, that's the response I wanted to.
Man,
so now, like, now that the fans know where y'all saying, Fade, how do you feel about that before we move on?
I feel like, the only thing, I don't like when people try to make songs trying to make it sound like something.
100%. Right,
right. Like, you're so focused on, say, if you heard, just an example, like a NBA Youngboy song, and you heard how it sounded. Now you're making music trying to sound like that because you're trying to copy that sound, and copying sounds never gonna work. Because if you sound like somebody, I'm gonna just go listen to the person you sound.
Exactly.
So that's
that is 100% true. And you know what I think makes that worse is the fact that you can go on YouTube and type in so and so type beat. I think that's the worst thing for rappers in this new age.
Set yourself up for failure.
But like, that's where I wanted to start this interview off, by hearing what y'all's perspective is on that. So now, with that being said, let's get into y'all's story. Let's tell the people who don't know who Krissa and Fade are. Tell us how you got into music. Tell us what made you want to be a rapper, and some of your inspirations, if you have any. Because I know sometimes it's like, some people are like, it's intrinsic. Like, you don't listen, other rappers don't inspire you. It's intrinsic in yourself, and it's just you wanting to be the best. So what got you into rap?
Got me into rap. I used to like, I was a big Texas. I listened to a lot of Texas artists growing up, and I was like, from underground to major. Like, I listened to Chameleon L, King Cooper, like, that was his name before he got like his greatest hits. Like, I was on Chameleon L when Chameleon L had the coldest punchlines. Like, I felt like nobody was seeing him with the punchlines. That was like the type of artists I listened to, like Lil Flip. To that, I feel like that Texas sound helped me create low key my wave that I got right now, because it was like that sound. They had artists like Mike Jones and like Lil Flip that made songs that wasn't really too lyrical. It was more, you know, on some telling about my lifestyle but making it wavy, like to a sound where it's like, so it's like they saying it, you just it's a vibe, it's a wavy vibe. So I got, you know, low key inspired by Texas. I would say by Texas artists, rapper wise, and I used to always love freestyling. I felt like that's where I got there from. Like, I freestyle all the time. I was trash. I was super trash. But I would just listen. I listen to Boosie or Webby, and just they would be rapping, but I would freestyle over their raps to the beat, because I didn't even know how to get instrumentals at the time. But that's how I freestyle. I freestyle over people actually really rapping, and I just kept on practicing by myself until I felt like I was good enough. And then I freestyle to somebody, and they was like, "Boy, you cold." So I was like, "Oh, that gave me inspiration." Yeah. Like, I'm gonna keep practicing to try to see how really good I can do it. And like, a lot of the songs some of the songs off of Bodywater, I freestyle. Like, I ain't write none of it.
Real?
Yeah, some of the songs. Yeah,
that's some of the best material when it's just coming off the dome. Yeah. Chris, for you, man, how did you get into rapping? What propelled you to be an artist?
Man, it's like, I fuck with rapping. Not saying because it's easy, but when I was young, like, I was always into words. I was always into like poetry, and I used to write like stories, and like I would be working on like little novels and shit. Like, it was small scale shit. Like, I was young. A lot of the shit didn't get finished, but it was just always having the creative juices flowing. I used to I actually got one of my poems from like middle school like published in a book, because my teacher thought it was cool, and she like submitted it, and whoever she submitted it to fucked with it, and they like published it. It was just like a little stupid poem. But it was cool because I felt like my voice was getting heard. You know what I'm saying? And I always wanted to put my voice on wax. And I used to listen to, like, I grew up in like a super like Christian household, right? So my mom was like, she wasn't having none of that cussing music. So like, my first music I listened to wasn't like rap. It was like motherfucking like gospel. Weird shit. Like, it was like gospel. And not even so much that, but just like clean stuff, like pop, like NSYNC, or like I would have all the now that's what I call hit CDs. So like my first taste of rap was like Ludacris and shit, like What's Your Fantasy? I'm like, oh shit, this is tight. Like, but at the same time, I'm listening to like Matchbox 20 and fucking Simple Plan and all these rock songs and these pop songs, like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys. I remember when Backstreet Boys was hot in fucking Burger King, they had their little toys. They came with a VHS. I was so hyped to have the toys and the VHS. And now that I look back on it, it's lame because like the Backstreet Boys, but like,
they're legends, bro. That's for sure, because I used to listen to Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. Like, I relate to that story 100%.
They made hits, man. 100%. Like, classics. Like,
that.
They started that pop.
Honestly, yeah. I feel like that taught you how to, like, hear a hit. Like, you know how to write a hit because that's what you've listened to your whole life.
That's why I'm so glad I came up on it. I came up on, like, more than one genre of music. So it's like, I don't want to stick to one. I'm not saying I don't want to stick to one genre, but I want to, like, box myself into only doing one type of thing. I want to do, like, rap, or maybe do an R&B song, or, like, you know, a rock song if I feel like it, you know?
100% is best not to box yourself in. And I think the fact that you listen to a bunch of different music, I think that honestly builds your melody repertoire, because
definitely
black music has a specific type of melody to it, but when you listen to the rock in the pop, you get that other side melody, and that's why people like Lil Uzi, like the new age mumble rap, even though people say they can't rap, their melodies are on point because they listen to all that rock shit, so they know how to form a melody. And I 100% get where you coming from.
That's why I fuck with Uzi so hard, because I fuck with that style of shit, and I see kind of where he's pulling some of these influences from.
100%.
And it's like, I think that's why a lot of people don't like it, because they don't understand it. Like, for a long time, you see like and I don't want to make like a race thing or anything, but specifically you'll see like artists in white culture like taking little things from like black culture because it's cool.
Yeah.
But you'll never see like black culture taking little things from like rock or country because it's not cool. Just recently you've seen like Young Thug try to do a country type song.
Yep. Yeah.
You see all these artists, Nelly. Like, you know, Nelly. You see these artists like embracing the rock culture and everything. And I like it, man, because it's like kind of erasing the line that's like between people. It's like making people not put limits on themselves.
100%.
You know?
And I agree with that. I like that as well, because like, I'm a big fan of Panic at the Disco. Like, I love them, bro. They're awesome. And I think that you shouldn't, just because your skin color, that shouldn't determine what type of music you like. Exactly. Like, a white person can like the hardest gangster rap, and a black person can like the most country-fied country song. Like, even though I don't fuck with country, but still, like, they should have the opportunity like that. And I like where you're coming from with that. That's dope, man. Cameron, if you want to go, because I don't want to hog the interview.
No, I listened to the Toonami and stuff, too. And I'm not huge into anime, but as obscure the subject matter is, I can still, you know, bump it so hard, and I can vibe with it and ride with it. So just complimenting you guys on, you know, being able to stay true with the subject matter, but at the same time creating an actual, you know, a positive and good sounding thing.
Yeah, to me it's all about like the sound. Like, at the end of the day, it's music. And like I was saying earlier, I want to make the music that that I would jam, you know. And I don't see too many artists like rapping about anime, but to me that would be so dope. Cause I'm like a big anime fan, so I hear like rappers like rap about shit that they like how Currency raps about cars or Wayne raps about bitches or whatever it is. They make their punchlines around that because that's what they live. It's so easy to do a punchline like that because you think about it all the time because it's all in your face.
Yeah.
So for me to rap about shit that I don't really fuck with, like cars, not saying I don't fuck with cars, but I'm into anime.
Yeah.
So it's what's fresh on my mind all the time. So it's like it comes easy to make the music for it. The hard part is kind of making the music sound good. Because the easy part is making it sound good to anime fans. Because they're going to get the references. They're going to be like, oh, shit. Just like whenever Wayne fans, we hear a sports punchline and they watch SportsCenter every day. Uh-huh. But the hard part is trying to get like the people who don't know what anime is or like a whole nother world for them to like the song even though they don't really understand the references. And I'm kind of mindful about that when I make my music because I don't want it to sound too... Not saying too anime, but I don't want it to sound too unacceptable to the random ear, to the ear that doesn't really know. I want them to still catch and be like, what the fuck is this dude talking about? Like, I don't know it's anime, but it's still jams.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. You pull through on that for sure.
Man, and that's what I was talking about in the beginning. Like, y'all stay true to y'all sound and, like, exactly what you were just saying, like, you're not in the car. Like, not saying that you don't like car. Y'all not into that. Y'all talk about y'all's lives. And like Fade, I was talking to you before the thing even started. I went back and listened to some of your old stuff because I don't know if the people know, y'all aren't a group. Y'all are a clique. And y'all make songs together, but y'all still have y'all's individual careers. Mm-hmm. And Fade, I went and listened to your song Now You Know Pride by Pierre, and it just reminded me of a great hood tale. Mm-hmm. Like it was very much like a story. So I want to know, like, do you consider yourself a storyteller rapper, and who are some of those people that influenced you? Because I know you said you had the H-Town sound, but I can hear the storytelling vibe. Like when you said in one of the songs on Toonami about I'm going late at night with meshes with the donuts, like that stuck in my head. Like people, you talk about Lafayette landmarks and you're telling a story to get people to understand how the Lafayette scene is and how your life is in Lafayette.
Yeah. With that song, when I made that song, I didn't even want to put it out at first.
I'm glad you did because it's dope.
Like I was so nervous because it was a real, like, everything I said in that song was, like, some stuff that I don't speak to nobody about. Like, some stuff that happened and stuff that I spoke on. Like, there's some real personal things I said in that song. And I don't know. I just, like, it was so crazy. I'm from Houma.
Okay.
I went to my aunt house out there. And this is before I even wrote this song. Well, I started writing this song, but I didn't finish it. And I went by and she was like, you know, I had a dream about you the other night. She was like, you had made this song and you said everything that was like real personal. Like you said something that you got off your chest and it went so hard. And it's way before I even made the song, like record this or anything. And she told me that. And like, I was like, I when she told me, I thought about the verse I started writing. I was like, I ain't even finished writing it yet. And then I break off and I go in different places because they all connect. But saying that, I went I have a brother. He's Facebook famous.
Okay.
And like he real Facebook famous. Like he got like over 100,000 followers. Like every time they go live, like yeah,
it's
like
popping.
Yeah. But he's into the spirit stuff and zodiac and praying and like and energy and all that. So I go to his house and he had a psychic woman over there, but I never met the woman before. I didn't even know she was a psychic woman. I'm walking through and she look at me, the door is kind of open, and I like it just, you look at the door and you see somebody like right there in the crack, and she did like this. So I'm like, man, who, I don't even know you, like random woman. So I walked by the door. I was like, what's up? She was like, come in here. And it's like his praying room. He got all his type of stuff in there. So she was like, you do music, huh?
Real.
I was like, whoa, that shit. I was like, whoa, hold up. Like, how do you? I was like, yeah. She was like, yeah, keep going. She was like, don't stop. She was like, you got to keep on writing, though. She's like, you got to keep on writing. She was like, don't stop writing. I was like, well, at the time, I had stopped smoking because I was trying to get a better job.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, it's hard for me to write right now. So she was like, well, you gotta do something, like find a smell, do something to make you go into where your mind writes, because you need to write.
Get that vibe back.
Yeah, she was like, you need to write, because if you you gonna be real successful with this. She was like, you just gotta keep writing. And I thought about that when my aunt told me that.
Yeah, man.
And then I put that together, and then that's why I finished writing the verse and then put it out. But that song was real personal for me.
It's
an awesome story, yo.
100%. I could tell when I was listening to that song. That's why that's one of the ones for you that I singled out, because I could tell that song was personal. Mm-hmm. And just hearing your story from how you had the aunt to your brother's psychic friend, that's crazy. Yeah. And that's like serendipitous. That's like multiple people telling you, like, bro, keep that shit up. That's like, in the universe, I believe that people give you signs. Mm-hmm. Like the world won't just let you fail. Mm-hmm. They'll show you what path you should be on.
Yeah.
And bro, that was your sign right there. And that song is a testament to that. How you need to continue.
I appreciate that.
That's awesome, man. I love with that. And Christian, don't think I forgot about you with the bars, my brother. I was trying to save it for some anime talks, but yo, bro, when I heard "Feel Like Kugo," I'm the boss, man. Like Sakio, pin like Toriyama, cool bar ass nigga, Capsule Corp gang, my bitch like Bomba on the Molly, bro. There's so many that I could just talk about, but. What's your favorite song off of Toonami? Because I'm going to get into anime talk a little later, but I want to keep it music-wise.
That's a good question, because I want to hear this.
That's a hard one,
bro. Fade, I want your answer after, too, my brother.
Because it's some hard shit, because me, personally, with my favorite music, I'm like I'm super into new music. I like listening to, like, as soon as it drop, I like it. So with me, personally, it's like whenever I make a song, I be on it super hard. It's like my favorite song I ever made. And then once I'm on to the next one, not saying the last one is kind of like I'm over it, but it's like I'm on the next one. Like, oh, this is my new favorite now. So it's like, usually my favorite is the newest one. But with Toonami, like, I did a lot of them. A lot of the tape was done sporadically over long periods of time. And then last minute, I just finished it up and did like a million songs right at the end. So they all kind of feel kind of new, or most of them. So it's like hard to pick like a favorite one. But if I had to pick one, I would probably say the intro, that Mazaku. Just because it's Yu Yu Hakusho, man. It's my favorite anime. You
know what I'm saying? That answers one of my future questions. For sure. I had a question that concerned Yu Yu Hakusho, but nah, that song is definitely hard. When I hear those bars on there, my favorite one on the project, I have to say, is Sakio. Sakio goes hard. That's my shit. Or Mario Uchiha, I like that one a lot too.
Yeah, definitely.
Faye, what's your favorite song off Toonami?
That Shishio.
Ooh.
And that Ten Tails.
Yeah, that shit hard. That whole tape, man. Tape is fucking fire. So y'all said that y'all's most recent shit. Do y'all have any new shit coming out from you, Krista, and you, Faye? Do y'all have any shit together, separate? What y'all got coming out the pipeline?
Boy,
we have so much shit right now in the pocket that it's kind of hard to schedule what we're gonna do with it. It's like we got a lot of shit, and we're just tempted to just like throw it all out there and be like, we're dropping a lot of shit at once. Like, y'all gotta look at us. Like, we're working like crazy. But I low key want to sit back and like kind of strategically drop it to where it's like, you know, one project here, two projects here, and it's like I'm trying to make it stretch. You know what I'm saying? So I can have that time to really work on.
It's
other
all about
projects.
The rollout. Yeah.
It's definitely all about the rollout, because the product is there. It's all about how people take in the product. So it's like we have it sitting in the pocket. We got a lot of it. When you have a lot of songs in the pocket, I'm used to like having a few songs in the pocket, like maybe six or seven, and then kind of wrapping up the tape and dropping all the songs. But now I got like a lot of songs in the pocket, and it's like a bunch of tapes done, just sitting down. And now I get to really sit on them and kind of think about the order of how I'm going to release them, which ones I'm going to promote.
Yeah.
Because I got like different sounds, different producers and stuff like that. And I kind of want to like push everything separate, because like Toonami, I want to push that by itself, because that's going to hit that anime target audience.
Yeah, got it.
Then I got like some weird punk rock kind of shit coming out to kind of experiment with weird lyrics and stuff like that, and see if people like singing melodies.
I'm going to show y'all that when we get off the mic too, some of this new shit.
Word, I'm excited for that.
Weird
shit,
definitely. Man. But I'm just so hyped to get all this shit out. I feel like I've never worked this hard before in my life. Like, I usually drop like 3 projects a year. I try to keep it to 3 projects a year, even if it's like an instrumental project or like a project where I'm doing some EDM kind of mixes and stuff like that. I try to at least keep it consistent with 3 projects, and one of them being a rap project, if not more than one. But like recently, like I think last year was the first year I only dropped 1 CD in a year, because I was taking a long time to work on it. I wanted to perfect like a solid debut mixtape before I started working on album quality stuff. And after that, I was like, this year I gotta go crazy. I gotta drop like 10, however many. Sure. I saw, I'm not gonna lie, I saw an underground rapper from Cleveland named Chapo. Okay. He's kind of signed to a branch label under Free Bands.
Okay.
But basically, he's kind of taking off doing his thing, but he's like more of a bass freestyler. Mm-hmm. And he dropped like 30 tapes last year.
Damn.
Like literally 30. And it inspired me to be like, man, I should be working harder than this. You know what I'm saying? Of course, his music is a lot easier. Like, he just gets in the studio and freestyles, yeah. And I kind of want to put my shit together a little more, but it just make, it's got just me that grind. Drive. Yeah, yeah, like.
The grind. I can relate to that because I listened to Russ and I watched a bunch of Russ interviews, and Russ was talking about how he made a bunch of shit just like you were saying, and he was like, well, fuck it, until I get my album ready to go, I'm gonna just release a song every week, once a week. And he did that for like, I want to say like a year, 2 years, three years, something like that. And then that's when he got popping off. So I know a bunch of like,
that's so smart
too, that's when, right? When the grind starts to happen like that, that's when you know shit's about to, cause the universe sees you're working real hard. Exactly. And it's like they're gonna reward you for that shit. So I respect that. Fade. Oh, my bad.
I had one more thing to say. This is my thing with art, you know what I'm saying? Art, like, I'm an artist first, you know what I'm saying? I never like to call myself a rapper because I rap, but I sing a lot too, and I make a lot of beats, and I do a lot of DJ mixing and stuff like that. And I respect art. Like, I do it because I fuck with the art form, I fuck with music, and I fuck with just any kind of art like that. Now, when it comes to, like, putting art out, a lot of people do it backwards. Like, a lot of people will think about the marketing and everything and how they're going to roll it out and yada yada before the art's even there.
Right.
And it affects how the art's created. You know 100%. What I'm saying? So when you just make the art and then you got a whole lot of it sitting around and then you wonder how you're going to put it out, you could really, the art's already done. It's not like you're having anything influencing what you do. Well, once it's done, then you start thinking about what you're going to do, and you can really focus on how you're going to do that to where it's separate. You know what I'm saying? Like, 100%. It's like you're not affecting the art, and at the same time, you're giving yourself enough time to really think about how you're gonna push it, like, strategically.
And like, fans aren't dumb. Like, they can tell when something's rushed. Or,
exactly.
Like, when something isn't properly planned out.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, with a lot of people now, you have one chance to win them over. Like, that first time they hear that song.
Especially,
like,
since we're the microwave generation. Yeah, exactly. Yes. That's 100% accurate. So. Mm-hmm. With each thing y'all are saying, man, it makes more sense in my head why y'all are on this podcast. Every response, I'm loving. So, Fade, what you got coming out the pipeline? Are you working on something before we get more into this Toonami talk?
Like, I got some stuff in the works. I'm big on trying to do. I want to do like little EPs right now.
Okay.
And I got a couple artists I'm gonna work with. Probably do like maybe 4 or 5 track EPs. A couple. I have my he's out of our group. SJE, Jalen Quinn.
Okay.
He is super dope. He is super, super dope. Me and him gonna do an EP together.
Next time y'all come, y'all bring Jalen up in here. Talk to him in this story. Like,
yeah, Jalen, he's super, 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 super dope. And he produces a lot of his own beats. And he produced a song that Krista got. Oh, no, he didn't produce it, but one of his colleagues that make beats with him produced a song that Krista got with Chapo called Super. But yeah, me and Jalen probably gonna we gonna drop our collab tape. World premiere.
You heard it here first on Bros Who Think. This is what I like. Drop that beat, my nigga. Drop that beat.
Hey, I can't give all the details on this. I can't give all the details on this yet. But just know Krista is having something exclusively drop only you. The only way you're gonna be able to get this content is if you have a Twitter and you follow Krista. It's only gonna be on Twitter. As it is, this is the only place it's gonna be posted at.
That's what's up.
One more thing. I'm gonna tell this one little thing.
Break it, my brother.
Tell him. I want to see where he's going.
It's gonna be music. You know, it's gonna be music based only for Twitter. It's gonna be like an EP. It's gonna be strictly videos when it drops, though.
That's what's up. See. That's how I can tell y'all got the shit in the pocket. Damn, and y'all,
crazy.
Now that it's made, y'all strategically getting ready to drop some bombs.
100%.
It's gonna be some random nobody's doing it type shit. Like, I've never seen somebody drop a mixtape on Twitter, like,
no, yeah, that's
or anything on Twitter, like in a thread, and this is like the only place you can get this content, you know what I'm saying? Or any kind of social media. That's mostly like YouTube.
Yeah, that's what's up. I ain't never seen no rapper do that shit at all. Like, that's what's up. That's dope as shit. So I want to get back into Toonami for a little bit. I'm huge into transitions and skits. And like on my album, I use passages from The Dark Knight. Mm-hmm. And but seeing you guys use the Toonami sayings, that brought me so much back to my childhood. It made me geek out. So how important is having skits in each of your projects? And where does that idea stem from? Because I know with me where I got the idea concept of keeping skits in. And is it important for you to always have skits in your album?
It is. I feel like some albums may not need them. Not saying may not need them, but it all depends on the theme and the concept of the music you're putting out. Because, like, if I drop a little EP and it's like a little 5-song EP, you know, it's just going to have room for that, you know?
Yeah.
But if I got like a big picture I'm trying to paint with a big project, like an album or a big mixtape like Toonami, I really want the picture to get painted clear. And it Definitely. Will get painted clear with the lyrics and the beats, but it has to feel like a movie or like you're in something bigger than music. Like, I remember all of my favorite, like, growing up in the era where we used to still buy, like, CDs. Yeah, like, We seen that era die of CDs 100%. Getting bought. Now, I still buy CDs to support the culture because I used to, but it's only CDs I really fuck with it. But back in the day, like, I used to listen to like the 3-6 Mafia. I remember all the Carter albums had like on the block skits, and it just added so much personality. It wasn't even the artist sometimes rapping. It was the artist wouldn't even show up in the skit sometimes, but it just added so much flavor and extra context to the project, you know. And it makes it feel like you're really engulfed in what the artist is engulfed in when he made the music, you know?
Yeah.
That's why skits are super important because it really adds that extra personality, you know?
100%. It's like a gumbo pretty much, and the skits are like some little Tony Sashers you don't
Exactly. Like if you got the gumbo and you're missing like the sausage or something, it's just rice and gumbo. It's rice and
chicken. that's not gumbo. That's just a chicken stew.
Exactly. You
know, it takes every piece to make the whole pie pretty
exactly.
much.
Exactly. That's what makes a good gumbo.
100%. And I was definitely impressed by y'all skit usage. Let me see where I want to go. Fade, I saw you had a song called The Famous Jet Jackson.
Yeah.
And I listened to that. I was like, dude, that's dope. So did you like that? Did you watch that show?
Oh, yeah. And that was one of my favorite shows. I like showing respect to Famous Jet Jackson because it was like, you got to think how deep it was. He was an actor playing an actor that was showing the life of him living a regular life, acting, and him showing his life on set, acting on a show.
Yeah.
So like to be that cold of an actor, and then the way that he was showing, like, I'm a regular dude, but when it's time to work, it's like I'm the Famous Jet Jackson. Like, I'm him. Like,
100%. So I want to get into some more rap questions. We're gonna get into some rapid fires real quick before we finish up with the music talk.
Uh-oh.
And then get into like some more personal stuff. So the rapid fire music questions I want to go is, who do you think is the better Louisiana rapper, Boosie or Currency?
Oh,
for both of y'all.
Damn.
I would say Currency. I would have to say Currency too, because Currency affected my life more than Boosie did.
I feel like Boosie affected my life more than Currency, but as far as rap and actual rap, like, not saying Boosie's not a cool rapper, but he's more street with it. Yeah, like he's more of a storyteller. He's not more of a getting there and intricately like Currency. He remind me like Jay-Z. He'll teach you how to hustle. Like
100%.
He has like deep shit in his music, like subliminals. Boosie just captures that real essence. Either way, it's like hard to do, but
it's hard to pick. 100%. Like
it's more skill involved in Currency. He got a big vocabulary.
Just the relaxed vibe. It's easier.
And Currency's marketing strategy, and just
you could tell he's an artist. You could tell he everything he rolls out is an event.
No, 100%.
Like his shit is so classic because he made it classic. Like the Pilot Talk series, classic. You know what I'm saying? The audio dope is classic because he made it into that. You know,
definitely. And the thing is, I respect him for the fact that he's underground as fuck. Nobody can tell me he's not underground as fuck. But he's so major in the sense that everybody knows what Jet Life is, and you know when a Currency project, if you're a Currency fan, you buying his merch, you buying album. He has his fan base to a T. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think that's one of like my goals to get out of rap is to be not major famous. I want that Currency success because he can still walk down the street and be himself.
Yeah, mainstream underground.
Exactly.
He's like the first person that really made going to jail work. Like, honestly, like, they took that whole, and then they released that documentary and stuff. Like, no, they really took that and like
ran
like,
with
props
it.
To him for turning that situation into such a positive one for his career.
So with that being said, the next question I have in my rapid fires, what do y'all want to get out of hip hop?
Whoo, man.
I want to be...
I'm going to say some corny shit.
but it's not corny because it's real to you. So, like, I want that shit. Like, that's that real
at
shit.
At some point, if I get in the game, if I get in the... Or whenever I get in the, I want to try to be top. Okay. I want to... Because, like, my mindset is if I do something, I'm trying to be the best at it.
100%.
I want to... If I'm playing in the NBA, I want to make it to the finals every year like LeBron. If I'm playing whatever, I'm an artist, I want to be at the art show selling my art paintings for $1 million.
Sure.
I want anything I do, I want to be the best at. So if I'm in this rap, if I'm in the game, I want to be one of the best.
I feel that. Chris, what about you, my brother?
Me, I want to do it for like two things. I want to do it for the voice. Just number one, because I feel like I got a lot to say. And I feel like I got a voice that's not biased to a lot of stuff. And I feel like a lot of people don't hear too much inspirational stuff that's different. You know, usually sure. You hear inspirational stuff, you hear the same thing over and over, and it's like people saying stuff people hear every day, and it's like, you know, you don't know how to take it because it's like you hear it at school, you hear it from your parents, you know, you just kind of goes one ear out the other. It doesn't really speak to people. I feel like I could speak to a certain amount of people who don't really have a voice, and I feel like a lot of people need to know that they have a voice. They're not the only person like what they are, you know what I mean? At the same time, that's one of the things I want, just to be able to speak to people who, you know, reach out to people like me that don't necessarily have a voice. But I also want the respect, because, man, I came up and, you know, I just did it for fun, and, you know, a lot of people fucked with it, and I just started seeing, like, being in the rap and the industry and everything, I just started seeing how shit works and moves, and it's like people respect a lot of weird shit, you know. And it's like, if you really want respect for being cold at your craft, nobody's gonna give it to you. Like, you gotta really,
you gotta earn it.
Yeah, you really gotta earn it. And it would be such an accomplishment, not just to have the respect, but to know that I earned it 100%. All off of the muscle, you know, not trying to do anything fake or trying to go too hard for it, like not reaching for attention, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
But really just putting out quality art, you know?
I respect both of those answers a lot. And to your point, saying about how people respect the weird shit, but they're true to themselves. I mean, I think Lil B is a prime example of that.
I'm glad you said that.
Lil B, like, Lil B is one of the biggest influences on new age rappers.
Period.
And he stayed true to himself, didn't switch up, and look at him now. He's balling. He has
Definitely.
Major success. But I want to get into a line. I'm not sure which one of y'all said this line, but this is a question for both of y'all, because it was late last night when I was listening, writing all these questions down. When y'all said, I'm not trying to win a Grammy, I'm trying to make sure my people straight on Kenshin Himura.
Yeah.
I connected to that because I want to make sure my people straight as well. Like, that's why I do the things I do, to take care of my people.
Mm-hmm.
But however, with that being said, like Fade said, and like you said, y'all want to be the best. Competition, rap is a competition sport. It's a contact sport.
Yeah.
So with that aspect, would you not want the Grammy for the after you made it, for the idea that you've earned the respect you hear, and they respect my music on this level that is above, is the highest rap, is the highest music honor. So do you feel that competition aspect is, once I get my people fed, it's all competition at that point? Or is it all competition now?
It's kind of all competition, but I feel like it's friendly competition. I feel like
for
I'm
sure.
gonna get in where I fit in. I feel like I'm the best, and I feel like everybody else should feel like they're the best, you
Definitely.
Know? And if you know, you don't come in the best in one race, that's just one race, you know. It's like the best is subjective, you know. If I don't win a Grammy, it's because the Grammys didn't fuck with me. The Grammys didn't have that vision of me being the best hip hop
sure.
artist or the best whatever. But if the streets fuck with me, that's cool. Or not saying the streets, but just any, you know, having the respect of the people without having like a, not saying a trophy, but just having that actual, you know that the people fuck with you. That you could feel them reach out to you because you reached out to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want. I don't want, you know, because the Grammys is all, I'm not saying it's rigged, but it's all like,
no, I 100% feel,
you know,
that.
A lot of people win the Grammys and nobody is like, what the fuck? Why'd they win? Why'd so and so not win? Nobody's gonna ever see eye to eye about that. You know, just being nominated would be like respect enough.
Yeah,
you
that's
know?
What Q said. Schoolboy Q said that just the nomination idea shows me that I've arrived. I'm here.
Exactly.
Fade, how do you feel about that, my brother?
Like, I would say, like I want to be where nobody's been before, but it's hard to explain. Like I want to make sure that nothing, I don't gotta change nothing for myself to be in the spot where I want to be at.
Sure. I kind of feel that. Yeah, I feel that.
No, 100%. Like, you don't want to change yourself to fit somebody else's mold. You want to be.
That kind of reminds me, like, specifically of that line. I said, I don't want a Grammy. I just want to make sure my niggas happy.
Yeah.
It's like, whenever you win a Grammy, that's a staple of success that somebody else said is a good staple of success. Mm-hmm. But if you can't go back to your mom's house and your mom don't respect you, don't respect what you're doing, none of your friends respect you, no people, you changed on people the whole way to get that Grammy, you know, it's not worth it at all. You gotta still, you know, even if you didn't win a Grammy, even if you didn't win nothing, if your mom's like, man, I'm fucking what you're doing, I'm glad you're doing something for yourself, self-made, yada yada, you're doing something good, you know, not even saying your mom, but just, you know,
the people, your peers, you care about.
Yeah, the people you really care about. If like, I'm not saying I don't give a fuck about no Grammys, but like, I don't know none of them people, you know what I'm saying? 100%. Having their approval is cool, but it's not necessary, you know?
100%.
Speaking on that, performing, is that like one of the, you know, I'm not a musical artist, so I don't really understand that feeling,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I'd imagine that would be like the ultimate and the pinnacle. If I'm an artist,
that's crazy.
I love to perform. I love to perform. I like performing because it's like I low key, I don't black out. I have a control over it, but it's like I go to a place.
Yeah,
like I'm like in a happy ass place, and I could turn up.
It's a natural high.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's just like and like the type of songs that we perform. It's like I could really just be me and just let it now you can see it in person. 100%. You hear it on the song, but now you can see, like, yeah,
100%. No, because when you perform, I when you said blackout, I related to that so much, because every time somebody asked me, do you remember the performance after, like, how'd you feel, when they asked me that next day, I'm like, dog, I don't know what the fuck happened. Yeah, I just went on that stage and did it, and then after I'm like, what the fuck just happened? Like, you just high off that shit, because it's a great feeling. And to me, when I know a rapper's the real deal, their performances are ill. Every rapper that I've seen throughout my time who can perform, they're usually out of there. Yeah. With Future, for example, he's not one of the best performers. He's more of a studio artist. Mm-hmm. But when you look at people like Drake, like Kendrick Lamar, like Travis Scott, like Wayne, those four guys in particular, Kid Cudi, those five, their performances are off the charts.
I think it just speaks to the passion.
It's off the wall.
If you have the passion to produce the craft, you have the passion to promote it and perform it in the best way possible.
With that being said, do you keep in mind the type of songs you're making to make sure you do a good performance? Does that ever come across through the barrier?
That's crazy. Picture, we never made songs to perform.
Really?
We never do. We never, like, made a song that was like, hey, we're going to do some shit. We're going to perform this shit. It's like, we just make songs, and then we lit jam them, and like the ones we could go hard to, and people be like, yeah, we just, all right, we gonna try to perform to that bitch. We just whatever come out, that's what come out. And like the ones recently, I like performing. What's the ones we did last time?
What, Ball and Wolke Mosabe?
Wolke Mosabe. I love performing Wolke Mosabe.
That shit turned up so hard. Like, I like, that's me personally. I like performing songs that's gonna turn up, because there's a lot of songs that don't turn up that go hard at performances, like a lot of spoken word shit. But, you know, not spoken word shit, but, you know,
like
singing performances, you know. But like, I like, me personally, if I want to go to a performance, I want to like jump up and down and like feel like I'm at a concert, feel like I'm at like a big thing. So I like them songs that get people moving, that get people like, what the fuck, what's going on in here? Like, people in the back was just talking, and the shit's so loud over here, they gotta be like, what the fuck they doing is over there? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that shit hype. 100%.
I like hype ass shit, man.
Performances are so huge in music, but
they're definitely necessary.
Definitely.
Never really was like, not saying concerned, but like I wasn't mindful of performances until after I started performing. But when I make my music, I'm definitely mindful of it now. But I kind of really still do music the same way. If, like, I think about it, and before I go into doing a song, I'm like, man, I gotta do some shit. I can't say certain shit, because if I'm performing it live, I might like make some people feel some kind of way or something.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, I still make the same fucking music. I think about it afterwards, like, oh, I shouldn't have said that. So now it just, it makes me mindful about it in the after process, like, shit, I shouldn't have said that, but I keep it.
No, you got to.
Yeah, you got to,
because that's
man.
That fresh content, but it's in the back of your mind, because I relate to that 100%. But that's all the music questions I had. I'm ready to let the fans get to
oh,
know
yeah.
them as a whole. So I have, not only did I have rapid fire questions for the music side, I have rapid fire questions that we can either get into now or we can get into later. So it's up to y'all. Let's get it. Chicken or ribs?
Chicken all day. All
right. Top. That wasn't even a.
Yeah. This dude, I always gotta say this live on record. I don't think I've ever said this on Wax before. This dude is a chicken fucking addict. Like, if he go a day without eating chicken, he gonna die.
I feel that. Hold on. Favorite chicken place in Lafayette?
Whoo! Pyros.
Whoa, okay. I ain't never had Pyros before.
That's on the north.
On the north side, off Mall Street. They got the. Bro, they got the prices. They got like, I think it's like 18 piece. Bonus wings, $10.
What? Okay, real. I'm gonna have to check them out.
$10.
See, okay, so you're talking wings. I was talking fried chicken, but word. Cause see, I go get my fried chicken from Fat Albert's.
Albert's and Popeye's.
Don't get it.
Don't really do churches, cause churches got steroid chicken. I don't know. They talk about they got bigger legs and stuff. How y'all could control that? I don't know.
Only thing I like about churches is they spice level. Cause they, when you get spicy from them,
it's spicy.
It is really spicy. And I fuck with that. All right, next rapid fire. Rurouni Kenshin or Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yu Yu Hakusho?
Yu Yu Hakusho.
Word. Tits or ass?
Titties, man. I just came around.
Hey, I gotta put this on Wax. Hey, now look, this is for y'all that want to know, the girls out there that want to know if they really got a big booty or not.
Uh-oh.
The only way you for sure got a big booty, just go in the mirror and look at your booty. If you got the cuff, you gotta have the cuff at the have the line, like, it gotta, your booty gotta come off and gotta have that little cuff. If you can get a cuff on, you Gucci, you good. If you ain't got no cuff, go hit them spots or something. You gotta do something.
Yo, you titty all my niggas, man.
I gotta say, man, I'm a titty man, but I have an appreciation for ass. You know what I'm saying? Especially, right. It's like a newfound appreciation too. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Kind of fuck with a lot of girls in my life, and they had some ass. But like the last, one of the last girls I fuck with had a dramatic ass, and it made me see. I was like, okay,
I understand. I feel you on that, because I used to be a tits man. It took one time for me to have a real good ass,
like,
and then
whoa.
That just shifted my whole culture. It changes the whole culture, my brother.
Literally.
Okay, my next question. How do you feel, speaking on tits and ass, how do y'all feel about eating out the groceries, eating out the ass?
Can't do it.
Can't do it. No booty eating around here.
See me, I don't even eat the box. You gotta be a special bitch.
Right now. Excuse my brother right now.
I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? I eat the box, you know what I'm saying? But you gotta be a special bitch. You feel me? You gotta be special.
See me, man, I can't even front on with fans on this one. I eat the box on the regular. It don't even matter. Let's get it. Gotta please it.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yo, if you eat the box, I feel if you eat the box for every one of them, at least you know, at least they know, well, he took care of me. So maybe when you're in an off day and you can't get no punani,
you can
call that person back who boxed you late. She might go, hey, what? Who knows? You never know.
You never know, bro.
Okay, so the next one, the ability to travel in space or the ability to transverse the underwater world and be able to breathe and.
I'm going to space.
Space straight up.
Because I want to see, you know, I feel like I am an alien, so I want to go see the other aliens, go fuck with them and see what they're doing.
I want to fuck with space, because I feel like the world ain't going to last forever. Space will last
space
forever.
Space is way bigger.
Sure. Exactly. That's the future.
Even if this whole universe is just in randomly, I'm going to hit another one. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to see what's up over there. Find something to do.
For sure. Okay, and the final one before we get, this is a great segue.
Okay.
Devil Fruit powers or Chakra Ninja powers?
Ooh, Chakra Ninja powers.
Respect.
Chakra Ninja powers.
100%, I agree.
Too much negative with the devil fruit powers, and then it's too much like luck of the draw. You can only get one devil fruit. If you could eat like a million devil fruits,
yeah,
maybe. You know what I'm saying?
There's like, when I think about that, it's like Buggy. Like, do I want Buggy's devil fruit powers? And for the listeners, listen, we're talking about One Piece right now. Definitely. After this section, it's gonna get real nerdy with me and Chris for a second. We about to talk some anime talk, but I agree with him. He picked the Naruto power and the ninja power
because you could do so fucking much.
If you ate a devil fruit and you can't swim no more, you're done. You drown.
The ball could walk on water with ninja chakra powers.
For
like,
sure.
Run on water. Run up walls. Like
definitely. And then you could fucking shoot fire. You can control so much shit.
Before anime, I already thought ninjas was badass, and then Naruto took ninjas to the next level. Like
definitely,
they took ninja. They mixed like ninja shit with like Dragon Ball Z type
fighting.
Yeah,
for sure.
Changed the game.
Fade. Which one would you pick? Devil fruit powers or ninja powers?
Ninja powers. Cause I never really watch
One Piece.
Naruto.
He can never say that shit right.
Never really watched it, but I remember one episode. My brother watched. He be on that shit hard. And I walked in and I watched one episode with him. It was like an episode with Gaara, and like there was like it was like they was in the woods, and he did this move where like he turned himself into sand and went in the dude's mouth and like blew him up.
Ooh, I remember that.
Listen, I was like, once I seen that, I was like, oh yeah, I fucking
that's my respected Gaara.
So, Chris, we're going to get into you with the anime talk first. Then we're going to get Fade with the sports talk.
I wake up early for this.
Because Cameron can get in the sports talk, and then I can get in the anime talk.
Hell
so,
yeah.
You said you want your favorite anime is Yu Yu Hakusho. I respect that. It's a classic legend. It is definitely in my top five. Who is stronger, Hiei or Kurama?
Oh, Kurama. Well, I say Kurama's stronger just because he's stronger mentally. You know what I'm saying? Like, when I watched the last, and a lot of people don't know about the last two seasons
they
of
Yu Yu
Hakusho. You know what I'm saying?
You a true fan.
I had to go back. I had to go back, like, literally, because I missed it as a kid. And I was like, I thought that shit was over.
I thought it ended that dark tournament.
Me
when
too.
He beat, you know, 100. I recently went back and... No, I'm on the same
legendary.
Page for sure. Legendary.
But man, they had this the little arc right after the Dark Tournament. It was like with the
humans.
Yeah, with the humans, and they had the powers and shit like that. And I forget what it was, but it was like basically they had that dude with the nerdy dude with the glasses and the freckles. He had something set up to where
it
if
was
you say
room.
Certain, yeah,
yeah,
like if you say certain shit, you'll get your soul froze. And somebody had just got their fucking soul froze or some shit like that. You feel me? And this nigga He knew he couldn't
say the word. Yeah. And he said it.
He did it on purpose. I'm like, bro, you basically just let that dude run a mind game on you. You just like, I'm not no bitch, and it's like you ended up being a bitch. Like Kurama would never fold.
Never.
Not only was Kurama cold with the hands, but he was cold up here. With he wasn't gonna let you touch him if he knew you couldn't beat him.
And he was always out strategizing you. Always.
Oh yeah, that dude was smart.
Who is your favorite character in Yu Yu Hakusho?
Ooh man. It's gonna sound corny to go with the main character. That's probably one of the main reasons why I fuck with Yu Yu Hakusho so much. Cause I related to the main character so much. Like growing up, when it was first playing on TV, like watching him be that badass kid in school, like that was me. Like I was the dude skipping class, I wasn't a bully like him or nothing, but I just didn't give a fuck about school at all. The teachers thought I was trash, worthless. And I shook back and I you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not trash and I'm not worthless.
He's balling out on
him. Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
So, where I'm going with this next is, this is a question that's going to lead into the topic. Do you, because me and my friends have this argument all the time. Do you think Krillin is a bitch for how he handled the Android 18 situation? And by that I mean is, he could have blew her up if he pressed that damn button.
Yeah.
And Vegeta could have killed Cell, because Cell could have never went to final form. Do you think Krillin is a bitch because of this?
A tad bit. Like, he was thinking with his dick, man.
He was.
Krillin was thinking with his dick, bro.
He didn't even
he didn't give a fuck about the Earth.
He didn't give a shit. He's like, yo, he didn't even know that bitch was going to fuck with him.
Yeah, like,
he didn't even know who fuck the bitch, because the bitch is a robot. He shouldn't have been able to fuck her. Like, let's keep it real.
Krillin got a long list of doing sucker shit. You know what I'm saying? First of all, Krillin had money. You could tell he had money when that back in the Dragon Ball Z episode when he was with Marin and he was wearing them suits and shit and she was blowing through all his money. You letting that girl run through your money, you're a sucker. You're a trick. Second of all, with that other situation, with the Android 18, he wished her to be a human, even though he thought 17 was her old man. Like, basically, you think this girl has a boyfriend and you got a crush on her, so you gonna save her so she could live a happy life with him?
Yeah.
Oh, son, you taking this love shit to the next level, son.
Yo, I forgot about the whole Marin situation. She gold digging.
Oh, she was gold digging.
That just makes my whole point to all my friends that Krillin is a bitch even more so. So if you're listening to this episode right now, you know who you are. Krillin's a fucking bitch.
Definitely.
So speaking on DBZ, who's your favorite? Because I don't know it for you, but that was the one that got me into anime. Because I didn't even know it was anime. Ooh. I just thought it was regular American cartoon.
That's and, like the first anime a lot of people know.
Yeah, that's the grandfather. So, who is your... Because everybody has a favorite when it comes to DBZ. Who's your favorite? And Fade, if you have a favorite,
I about to say, I want you
feel free to jump in, my brother. This is not just talk for Krista, because I know you like the anime.
I got to think about it real quick.
Man, my favorite character on Dragon Ball Z... probably be Super Saiyan 3 Gotenks.
Okay, real.
Super Saiyan 3 Gotenks.
That's a different. That's an answer that I don't ever expect. The fusion answer, I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I like that. I always loved that move when they did the little ghosts. And yeah. Then, like, the ghost came out their mouth. Then he had the ring move where like trapped him in the ring.
Yeah.
I loved all those moves when he turned Super Saiyan 3. That's
what's up.
Legendary.
Gohan was my favorite until he would turn into a bitch.
That boy turned into a bitch.
He really did. Everybody want to jump down my fucking, even want to get on my ass whenever I say Gohan a bitch. But literally, the writer wrote him in to be a bitch. Like, he wasn't, it's not like I'm trying to diss him. I loved him. Yeah. He had hope.
He was supposed to be the strong, like, if you remember after the, when Goku got back from the afterlife, he was like, so is Gohan still the strongest? And Vegeta's like, that nigga ain't been training, my dog.
It's the strongest something. Strongest earthling.
But man, I used to love Gohan, but Vegeta's my favorite.
Vegeta's the truth. Yeah, if I had to pick a favorite, it would either be between Master Roshi, because he's like a comic legend. Like, he's funny. Anytime he come on the screen, this dude's hilarious. He's like legendary Master Roshi. And he could get down with the hands too.
Definitely.
I was watching an episode with the tournament the other day. He was going in with the hands. Dragon Ball Super.
That's what's up.
But my real favorite character is kind of one of the new ones from Super and like the new movies. But Beerus, I'm not gonna lie.
Beerus,
just because I respect his fucking gangster.
Yeah.
Like, he pulled up whenever he found out the whole Zamasu shit was going on in Dragon Ball Super.
He just fucked him up.
He pulled up on Zamasu, touched him, disintegrated him. Like, I'm sick of your shit. You're pissing me off. Goodbye. You know what I'm saying? He go to your planet. You'll roll out a whole meal for him. He'll eat it, but it shows trash. Fuck your planet. Like. I just don't care shit. Nobody gonna beat me. Like, that's, I just respect him. You know what I'm saying?
That's what's up. Okay, my next one. Who is a better fighter, Sasuke or Rock Lee? And I'm talking fighter.
I'm not gonna lie, man. My answer is gonna be biased as fuck, but I say Rock Lee. You know what I'm saying? Just cause I fuck with all the Uchihas, really. I fuck with every single one of them. They all got it in, but it was all for different reasons. Like, I fucked with Itachi different from the reason that I fucked with Madara. But Sasuke, a lot of people love Sasuke.
Definitely.
But, you know what I'm saying? And I like him too. But I always got like a little hate towards him in my heart. Just
always.
He did.
Because just how he did Naruto, man. Always.
Oh, man.
Naruto just kept trying to show him love, and he was just being a bitch.
Yeah, he was being a bitch. And I was mad at Naruto too. It's weird. Cause, like, Naruto is one of my favorite anime series of all time.
Too.
But the whole... the Team 7, like Naruto, Sasuke, and Sakura, they pissed me off the whole entire show. Like, Naruto chasing this nigga who don't give a fuck about nobody. Sakura chasing him that he don't give a fuck about
anybody.
He treats
Sakura worse than he treats Naruto, bro.
He almost killed that bitch. Like, I'm sitting there... why are y'all still giving a fuck about this dude that much? I understand. Your squad.
No, sure.
The squad forever. You gotta realize that. But when the nigga turned his back on the squad millions of times...
You gotta put your foot down.
Every time you're like, bro, but we love you. I don't give a fuck about you. Stop chasing me, bro. Leave me alone. I got shit to do. I'll just let him go on about his business. If he gonna come back, he gonna come back. If he real squad, he gonna come back.
Real.
You don't gotta chase him around. I always fucked with niggas like Neji and Shikamaru, because he was like the Kurama of
the loyal niggas.
Yeah,
for sure. And speaking of that, do you watch Boruto?
No, I've been waiting. I've been low-key waiting.
I was gonna spoil something for you, but I'm not gonna do it now since you said
I heard some shit. I heard some spoilers.
Just talking about how more of Sasuke is more of a bitch because of what he did. Yeah, I'm gonna let it be.
I just know he got so much more of a bitch shit to do. The Uchiha's known for doing just weird bitch shit.
It's bad too, man.
Savages, but at the same time.
It's not bad against like the earth or anything. It's just bad against like Sakura.
They're like emotional savages. All the Uchihas, they all are motivated by super emotional shit. And they always do some weird bitch shit like I can't get jiggy with. Like, Madara was on some whole fuck everybody shit. And Obito was on some whole slave to Madara type shit because he manipulated his mind. Like, so much fucking weird games going on with the Uchihas.
Sure.
But I respected the fact that nobody could really touch them.
Definitely.
As soon as Madara touched down, almost smashed the whole army single-handedly. Like, I respected that.
Killed all the Hokages.
All the Hokages. He was giving every single Hokage trouble. one on like seven or however many it was.
It was
like
the whole Ninja universe, pretty much.
And the strongest ones, too. Like, I was like, how the fuck are they gonna get past this, bro?
That shit was crazy, man. So, what are some of the animes you're watching right now?
Ooh, right now, I'm not gonna lie, man. I just recently finished Death Note, which is horrible because it's an old series.
Bro, speaking on that, I haven't finished it yet. I'm watching it right now to watch the movie. Everybody looks at me crazy. I'm a huge anime fan, but
A lot of people look at me crazy. Yeah, I didn't watch it.
I didn't get into it because there was not too much hands action, not too much fighting,
That's my thing. It was like it wasn't enough action.
It's the intelligent game.
No, for exactly. Sure.
I was too young to really get a hold of that.
Same,
but at the same time. Just the premise of the show never really attracted me. I didn't think you could do too much with that. But now that I realize it's like a crime mystery type show.
Yeah, it's like some detective type shit.
It's like a cat chase between two of the most smartest people in the world. Right. Like cop versus robber.
Did you watch the Netflix movie?
I watched up until the point that I was sick of it and couldn't watch it no more.
Dude, it's garbage.
It's super garbage.
Damn, now y'all making me not want
to
watch
it. It's watchable, but it's watchable to like if you want to watch it, make fun of it and shit like that, because they fucked it all the way up.
Real, I heard L's the nigga from the black nigga from Atlanta.
And I had so much hope for it because of that. I'm like, you casted a real one. So I fucked with him off of the strength of Atlanta. And he was in Get Out too, but I always remember him from Atlanta because he was funny. Like,
but
he was.
They like, I mean,
no, you can keep, no, you can say it, bro. So you know I'm spoiler. I don't give a shit about spoilers. I still watch it.
They gave him a romantic interest, and then like didn't have any of the games between him and L. Which was the best part of the whole thing.
They made every relationship in the like basically they took all the shit that was cool about Death Note and made it uncool, and they took the shit that nobody really gave a fuck about Death Note, because they made it into like a gore movie, like cutting people heads off, crazy murders, when the killing wasn't the main part of Death Note. It was the psychological shit, the games, the whole chase, the whole cat and mouse between, you know, L and Light. It was like they were two. You don't even really get the impression that Light is that smart of a fucking dude from the movie. And he was like a genius, like a super genius in the show.
One of the smartest people in Japan.
Literally, he was going so hard that this dude, who literally had all the proof in the world to throw him, like, you're doing it, I know you're fucking doing it. And he just couldn't prove it because he wouldn't let him, like, he wouldn't get caught. I would have got caught. I'm not gonna lie. It was hard to trace. It's like L was a dog.
Yeah, he was.
That's what made it so cool of a show. Cause you want to root for Light because he's the main protagonist of the story. But at the end of the day, you want to root for Light. I mean L too, because
he's
the good guy.
He's the hero.
And plus, you really want to see him like take this dude down because he's tripping. Like somebody need to kill him.
No, for sure. So what else are you watching, man?
Right now, I started watching And I say started roughly, because I just started. But I'm watching like Mob Psycho 100.
Okay.
I waited forever to watch Attack on Titan because that one season was out forever. And I'm like, I'm not about to watch one season. Like, I want to binge watch it. I want to wait to at least a second.
Me off. Yo, and they said the next one might not come out till 2019, fam. Like, that shit is ridiculous.
I'm watching it slow. Like, I'm taking it in
Please
parts.
Take your time, like, for sure.
Of course. I'm, you know, I'm still watching Dragon Ball Super and One Piece weekly.
Definitely.
I kind of took a hiatus on Naruto and Boruto. Just kind of want to kind of catch up. Because it's not saying it's in a transition kind of period. But once they're saying in Boruto, one of the main villains that could pose a real threat is about to come through.
Real.
So once he starts coming through in the anime, that's where I'm gonna start catching up. So it's gonna be some real intense shit.
I think that's when I'll start as well, because he gets the Byakugan.
Yes,
I think
that's
cool
gonna be
fuck.
Legendary.
Yeah,
that's
that
gonna
will
be extra legendary, bro.
Definitely. Do you watch My Hero Academia?
Yes, I never watched season 2 yet, but season 1 was legendary on its own.
Wait.
I watched like the first two episodes of season 2, if I'm not mistaken.
Season 2, my brother, there's a point in season 2 when I feel, because season 1, he can't control his powers.
Mm-hmm.
In season 2, when you see him meet his Jiraiya, quote unquote, it becomes, honestly, it became him like my top 10. It jumped. When you see him get his stick with it. That show is amazing.
I feel like it will be in my top 10 just because of how they're putting it together. It's not corny or nothing.
It's not.
The aesthetics of the show is nice. I like watching it. It gives me a feel like I'm watching an old Dragon Ball Z type shonen show like Naruto. It just gives me that feel without overdoing it and without like me watching it the whole time knowing that they're force feeding me shonen shit. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. It feels like it could fit in that age of when Naruto, One Piece, Bleach, all those shows dropped. It feels like it could be the superhero show in that generation.
And it's hard to find that, man. It's hard to get new One Pieces, new Dragon Ball Zs, new Narutos, especially now that Naruto kind of wrapped up. It's still going, but I mean, One Piece is never gonna fall off. But people are looking for that new show
that can hook them. That generational show.
And One Punch Man was that. You know, yeah. It had a bunch of them come out, but it's just not been as good as when I say One Punch Man hasn't been good, because that was one of the poster. You know, one of the
staple shows,
yeah, exactly. But I feel like that was the last one until My Hero Academia from Shonen Jump, anyway, because they had like shows like Gangsta and shit come out and all kind of crazy shit. Gangsta was super hard.
It was fire.
Gangsta's hard.
Gangsta low key changed my life.
Like, so I got two more animes to talk to y'all about before we get into fade with some sports talk.
Let's get it.
Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
No, peeped that out yet.
Yo, my fam.
Now see, I hear that all the time. People say Full Metal Alchemist is like one of the hardest, if not like top three. You know what I'm saying?
It's not Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Brotherhood,
you got it.
They redid it.
Yeah, Brotherhood follows the manga where Full Metal Alchemist, the writers did their own thing. That was some American shit. Brotherhood is the one, my fam. I'm not gonna say action wise, but story wise, top three. Can't even beat it.
You know why it was kind of hindering me from starting it? I always looked at it like I gotta watch Full Metal Alchemist, then I gotta watch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. But if I just start with Brotherhood,
that's all you gotta do.
You know,
don't even watch the other.
I'll be hooked because the other one doesn't get me hooked.
I never watched the other one. Never did. I just started with Brotherhood, and when I tell you, for 4 days during the summer, that's all I did.
Binge watched that.
All
shit.
I did, I ordered food like to be delivered bleeding to my house. I didn't leave. I had everything ready for me at my house, and yes. I watched that. It's that hooking, man. That story, that show is so great.
I'm gonna have to peep it out. That's definitely gonna be one of my new ones.
Definitely check that out for sure. My last anime I want to talk to y'all about is Tokyo Ghoul. Have you ever checked Tokyo Ghoul out?
I watched the first season of Tokyo Ghoul, but they say it boots up for the second season. It like really they does. Say the second season gets crazy.
That shit is. Would you
but the first season was already intense. Like the first season, it was so fucking gory, but it was action packed and it was like crazy action. Like I was fucking with it.
And
you
the
know
philosophy
what I'm saying?
Behind it, just like the thought process of what it means to be human and what's a human's morality, because you see these humans that are trying to protect him. You see the evil detective, the one with the white hair, I can't remember his name. All he wants to do is kill him. And then you see the ghouls who just are trying to survive. They don't even want to eat humans, mm-hmm. but they just want to get blood somehow. So you see the moral battle between good and evil.
Yeah.
Infects all people. And that's what I love about animes. I feel the lessons and the morals that it teaches kids, I feel like it sticks with you forever.
I learned so much shit from anime. Like, I learned a lot of shit from anime. And I find myself, like, nerding out and having, like, these little weird inspirational moments after I watch, like, certain points of a series where I try to, like... Because it's weird, because it's anime, you know what I'm saying? Definitely. But you definitely... I definitely feel that you could really relate what's going on with certain characters. It'll resonate with you, what you're dealing with. Even though it's not as dramatic as the concept of the moral, like, the morality. It's, like, it's deeper than just the... What the face value of what you're getting in most anime. Like some shit is like cotton candy shit, but a lot of shit is like deeper than like all the shit in Naruto. They got so much internal conflict with like almost every character, even the minor characters.
The ones
like,
you don't even see.
Like even Rock Lee. Like I'm not saying Rock Lee's a minor character because he's one of my favorites, but he's like not the top three. He's not like, you know, the legendary Sanin or whatever.
Yeah.
But all I know is, you know, you wanted to dig deep into the Nejis and the Rock Lees because you could relate to them. You know, you really felt like you knew them personally because it fit. Like, everything that they were going through is stuff that people go through, you know? It's shit that you could really empathize with, you 100%. Know what I'm saying?
And I think that's good art. Good Definitely. Art can make you see yourself in the art. I think that's exactly. What makes good art. Here at Bros Who Think, we love lists. We're a big list people, so I'm going to hit you with the first list. And I feel like you know where I'm going with this. If you have a top five anime list, what is it, my brother?
Man. You got one, too?
I mean, I probably got, like, my favorite anime. I ain't even finished watching it, but it's so good. And every time I go back to watch it, I watch a couple episodes before where I stopped at and to re-catch. But Inuyasha.
Ooh, that's a good one. Classic.
I love Inuyasha. I feel like it's Dragon Ball Z. For me, Inuyasha, I fuck with Gangsta super hard.
Gangsta like, go hard, man. Like, don't sleep on it.
Just from the first episode, it was like just the way they, the, like everything they showcased that how the show is gonna be, like with the fucking prostitute,
very different.
Fucking the tag, like the tag,
the dog with the, tag,
yeah, like the different rankings, how they, and how they come to your town and you see them like,
and you don't fuck with them niggas at all.
Like, yeah, like that was real dope for me. I would say. I don't know if it was an anime, but it used to come on Toonami. Fucking Zoids.
Zoids?
Oh, Zoids. Hell yeah.
That counts.
I think that's Japanese.
I think it originated and then they brought it to America and they Americanized it, but it definitely counts for sure.
Yeah, I love Zoids. I used to watch Zoids because I remember it used to come on right before Dragon Ball Z.
Definitely.
You come home from school, so I would catch Zoids and then Dragon Ball Z would come on and I fuck with Zoids hard.
For sure. That's what's
and
up.
I know this is not I know this is not an anime, but yeah, it used to play on Tsunami 2 fucking Reboot. I used to love Reboot.
Damn, I don't know if I know what that is.
With the green, like pixelated people kind of.
It was like kind of purple. They were kind of purple.
Yeah, like
green.
A backwards hat, like, you know what I'm saying?
Y'all have to show me after.
Yeah, like dreads. Definitely.
Huh?
Aqua Teen?
No, it was like Reboot. It was like some weird. It reminded me of like Tron or something.
Aqua Teen definitely had those things in.
Oh, yeah. But no, it was like, it wasn't pixelated, but it was like Pixar kind of CGI.
Y'all would definitely have to show me this after we get on.
Like the original Transformers.
Those show.
But I think I got my top people going to hate my top, especially anime fans. And I hate the fact that, you know, I reach out to anime fans super hard. But anime is like hip hop, and hip hop, you see a lot of the mumble rap. It's not real hip hop. Yeah, you're not a real hip hop fan. You listen to Lil Uzi, weirdo. You gotta listen to J. Cole, real hip hop.
And I know people gonna be mad because we didn't talk about Bebop, we didn't talk about Shampoo.
And I was about to say that there's legendary shows like Cowboy Bebop, which is to me, if we're talking about best, top five best, it's top five best. It's literally up there.
Definitely.
But my top five favorites.
That's different.
What shows had the biggest impact on my life?
100%.
Honestly, Cowboy Bebop is great, but it was only like, what, 24 to 26 episodes?
It's a
legendary, but didn't have.
It's a single season anime.
Yeah, it's a single season anime. It's great to take in for what it is, but it's like a movie. Not saying like a movie, but it's like a long ass movie.
And what also makes it different is there's like maybe 6 or 7 episodes that all tie together.
Yeah.
And the rest are standalone.
Exactly.
And if you the creator put inside of the anime, I don't know if you remember those screens where they just have words. Mm-hmm. And he said after this show, the genre will be called Bebop. And that he wanted to make it a genre of just the five episodes that tell a core story, but everything else could be watched individually.
And I'm here for that, man.
Cowboy Bebop, if we're talking best, it is definitely in
exactly.
The best.
When you're talking best, you gotta mention shit like Cowboy Bebop and all the goats, you know what I'm saying? The goats. But when it comes to favorites, my favorites is very like vanilla. It's like shonen. Like I'm gonna say Dragon Ball because it had a big impact on my life.
Definitely.
And my career. Fucking Yu Yu Hakusho, number one.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? That's always at the number one on my list. I want to say Shippuden, or just Naruto as a whole, just because, man, so much about that show was put together, and it's like, the more you get on to the show, you're like, how is this
gonna end?
Like, how is he keeping new, fresh content, and it's tying together perfectly? It's like he knew what was going to happen at the end when he first started.
Yo, I have that question all the time. Do you think that when they started off with Naruto, they knew they were going to get to the end?
The fucked up part about it is I feel like it's impossible to.
But it
fits so perfectly. Like, it fits so perfectly that I feel like he had it in his head, kind of. The characters and everything that happened and the way it did, it was just so perfect.
I feel like he had the major people, like a major outline. Like, he had the Uchiha conflict. Like, I feel like he had the Kaguya stuff. But I don't think he knew how he was going to get from Naruto being, like, the worst ninja to getting to him beating Kaguya. I don't think he knew how he got there. I think he just had them all out.
Nobody really knew how he got there. Well, I mean, we saw it. But I mean, that was some big jumps. Like,
yeah, bro, that shit was crazy. Some big jumps. So we got Naruto, we got Dragon Ball Z, we got Yu Yu Hakusho. What else is in there? Because I count Naruto all as one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's and Dragon Ball, all the Dragon Balls.
That's all one.
Four, Hunter.
Ooh, whoop.
Hunter is like game changing to me. Like, and it's so good because, like I was saying with Naruto, I love, you know, I love Naruto. I love watching him grow and be successful from turn from nothing to something. I love watching all the stories play out, but my main characters wasn't Naruto and Sasuke and Sakura.
Yeah.
It was more of the other characters. Now with Hunter, it's like literally that whole show is full of interesting characters. Like the bad guys, you want to fuck with them hard. Like the Phantom Troop, most legendary clique of like villains of all shows ever.
You know I think what I'm the saying? Best seat. I haven't finished. Well, let me not say it because I haven't finished it yet. I'm at the point where they're about to get off the island, the video game.
Oh yeah.
I'm at that point. But to me, one of the best arcs I've seen with villains ever is when what's his name? Dude with blonde hair. What is his name? When he fights the Phantom Troop for the first time.
Oh, Kurapika.
Yeah, yes. When Kurapika fights the Phantom Troop, I think that's one of the best villain arcs ever.
It was just crazy. They fight all the fights in Hunter x Hunter aren't more along some you know, I'm cold and this guy's cold, we're gonna beat him and then I'm gonna be colder after beating him and then I'm gonna go fight someone that was stronger than him. It wasn't like a big scale. It was like you never really knew people's power levels. Or it was like the wins. Yeah, the wins were made not because of brute strength. It was like strategies. It was like just way more intricate. And all the other characters were so cool. Like it was fun watching them two main characters, but they were far from the highlight of the show. They were just like a vessel to get you from different from characters to characters, because you meet a lot of characters, and some of the ones that stick around leave an impact, and some of the ones that didn't
leave an impact for sure. I don't know if you know this. I want to tell you two interesting facts about Hunter x Hunter before we get the rest of your list.
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna based her album design off the bitch from
the black girl. Yes, dog.
She based her design off an anime.
I knew it. I saw that, and everybody was like, "Nah, it's just random. It's like her stylist." I'm like, "No, that's her.
She did it for sure."
Rihanna fucks
with
it. And
also, the second thing is Naruto's creator based his show off of Hunter x Hunter was the first one. Yeah, if you look at the connection, Sasuke is Killua essentially, and Gon's Naruto.
Oh my god!
Now that I did that, think about all the similarities in that show.
That's crazy,
Sasuke is Killua mixed with Kurapika because the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
That is wild.
100%. I'm glad I could share that information with you.
The last one on my list, you know, is Dragon Ball, Naruto, Yu Yu Hakusho,
Hunter x Hunter.
Last one. I gotta give an honorable mention before I say it. It's Death Note. It's definitely Death Note. Because Death Note recently made a crazy impact. Like, it was one of the coldest shows that transcended anime. It was like the coldest show I've ever seen, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, not even just limited to anime.
And I think Death Note might have to be in the best overall category.
Oh, yeah, definitely in the best, too. Because they did something that was undone before.
Definitely.
But I gotta give And shout out to my dog Dio too, because he put me on One Piece after a million years of not wanting to watch it because it's so long. But once I started it, I regretted so hard not watching One Piece before, like when I could have. Because I always used to have a subscription to Stoner Jump, and I would have the One Piece, and I would read it, and it was always lit, but I just never watched the anime when it came out. Because when it first came out, it was on Toonami, the vanilla version of Toonami before it was like Adult Swim, and it was like the four kids version. I was like, nah, I'm not feeling it.
Same.
But I rewatched it, changed my fucking life. Like that shit. It's up there. Like, it's not my favorite. It's not one of my favorites because I don't know how it ends yet. It's still going on, but it's a fun ride while I'm on it.
Are you caught up?
No, I'm definitely not caught up. I'm caught up to where, like, literally, I've been watching that too recently, but I'm kind of on a hiatus of it. I've been watching the dub.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm around the area where they killed Ace.
Okay, that's where I'm at. Should I stick with it?
Oh, man. I feel like you should. But if you're watching the sub, you can start it really right now. But me, that's the only thing that's stopping me. Cause like when I like watching sub and dub. But when I watch the dub, I stick to it. And I watch the sub, I stick to it. You know what I'm saying?
Loves that show and he's caught up. So
yeah, I think I'm gonna stick with it because I'm on the sub.
It's so many episodes
that's why I'm so scared to like get back in because it's so much, man.
But I'm not gonna lie, man. I did feel like I got to that point where I'm at. Very like relatively quickly, you know what I'm saying? Like I zoomed through the shit. Like when I was watching shit, I was living with Fade at the time, and I was like coming home from work, and I would like binge watch that show for hours. I would like finish a whole season in a night, like or a whole arc, or like at least a half an arc, because some of them arcs was long. But I would definitely be trucking through them episodes because it was so easy to watch and entertaining. Like it reminded me of, like Dragon Ball Z because it was so fluid and it kept me hooked. It wasn't too like.
Too mind fillery.
Numbing. Yeah, it wasn't too fillery. It wasn't too complicated. You know what I'm saying? It was easy to get into.
Easy to go to sleep to as well. You can
definitely.
For sure.
And it was easy to vibe with all those characters. I love show. That's why I like anime, especially shonen anime so much, because they all deal with ensemble cast. They always gonna have the main character, but it's fun watching all the characters of One Piece play off each other.
Definitely.
They got a good dynamic.
This is awesome, man. This is some great anime talk.
Yeah,
and
man.
Bro, if you finish season 2 of My Hero Academia, when I finish it,
we gotta talk about that.
We'll I'll have you back for like a because we do a show called The Editorials where we take a TV season or an album and we go through and dissect it fully. And I want you on for that.
Sound like me, yeah. That's all me, man.
Because we can keep going, but we gotta move on to Fade. I don't want Fade.
Yeah, let's get it, man. Let's get it. Yeah,
Fade, let's have some sports talk, my brother. Tell me what's your favorite sport, and then we'll just go from there.
Right now, basketball.
Oh! Yeah. Who your favorite team?
Lakers.
Oh!
Yeah.
How you feel about Lonzo?
I went on the Baze God page today. I commented on the Baze God picture because he put it, you know, he posted it, and I was like, please forgive him.
Yeah.
Because he is a rookie. You know, all rookies make mistakes.
He's a young boy.
You just gotta please just reach out and talk to him. Just and let him know, hey, you tripping right now. Everybody needs that. So Baze God, please just don't put the curse on the Lakers. We've been cursed for so long. We do not need any more cursing being put on farmers.
You think Bron's going next year?
That was my question. And do you want him to come?
Yeah.
It's possible, but, you know, at the end of the day, he is the best player in the NBA next to Kevin Durant. You know, I feel like it's LeBron and Kevin right now, even though he beat him, but still, I feel like just overall strength and basketball IQ, passing. Yeah. He is the best. There's nobody.
There's no question.
Overall, nobody can stop him.
For
so,
sure.
No.
I say LeBron, Kevin, Kawhi.
Yeah. That's how I put it. Yeah. That's exactly my top. That's my top three. But you know, if LeBron come, I can't lie. I don't like LeBron.
Say thank you, my nigga. Thank you. Ooh, I don't like LeBron either.
I gotta be 100% with him. Every time he in the finals, I hope he lose.
Say
no matter who he play. No matter who he play. No matter who he play. That's just me. I don't know. I grew up watching Kobe.
Thank you.
I grew up watching Kobe, you know. A lot of, you know, it is. That's what it is. A lot of people put LeBron versus Kobe, you know, through the whole shebang.
I'm a Kobe
still to this day.
Yeah.
Kobe retired. Been retired about 2 years now. And he still bring up,
shit,
you know.
Maybe three.
Yeah.
that last season,
that was just, that's a celebration. That was just a celebration for what he done. But,
I don't blame you. But let me pose a situation to you, because this is what I'm hearing through the grapevines of ESPN and all these people. They say that it would be Lonzo, LeBron, Westbrook, Brooke Lopez.
And Paul George?
And Paul George. That's the five that they say y'all would get.
Jones?
They said y'all would get rid of Ingram and Randall. But you get Paul George, Westbrook, and LeBron.
See, I'll give Randall up. But Brandon Ingram, I'm telling you, he gonna be like, you could build a team around him type player. Like, you want him on your team type player. He especially our new pickup too, Kuzma.
Kuzma baller. But do you not think that team that I just gave you could be the Warriors? Would you not want that team?
I want that team because I'm a Westbrook fan. I love Westbrook.
Let me put it like this. That's an instant gratification team. That's not a team for the future, because if you keep Kuzma, Ingram, Lonzo, that's a future big three.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think Lonzo's a generational player. I think Lonzo could be the best point guard ever.
Yeah.
Like, he could be in that running because just his vision and everything.
His passing is off the meat rack. Yeah. Like, crazy. Did you watch the Summer League games?
Yeah, bro.
Oh, my God.
Every game, I watch them all.
Me too.
That first pass.
His full court passes. His vision while he driving and be able to dish it off to Kuzma or whoever cutting. Like, we never had that in a long time.
Yeah,
so I love that.
Y'all been missing that for sure.
Yeah.
And another thing I think about that whole situation is, yes, that team that I just stated, the LeBron, Paul George, Westbrook, Lonzo, Brooke Lopez, yes, that team maybe could win one ring, two rings max. Once that's over with, the future's done, and you leave Lonzo in a situation of when LeBron retires, when Westbrook retires, is he going to stay with the Lakers? Mm-hmm. And what y'all going to do with that? So I think it puts y'all in a precarious situation. If I was y'all, I wouldn't get LeBron. I would get somebody that's a star that could be with Lonzo and all those people.
That's not
who grow
what the
with
NBA
him.
Is nowadays.
It's not.
Because it's all-star teams now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that team that you listed with – once Bron leaves and Westbrook leaves, will ever be able to win anything, because there's going to be another team out there that has
the superstars together.
Top,
yeah,
15 players. You know,
New Orleans itching for we just maybe let the Pels get one more guy. One more guy.
Hey, the Pels looking real nice right now.
Yeah, man.
Like my uncle, he owns his own trucking company, and for some reason, somebody endorses it and gives him free Pelicans tickets, to every single game. So like, and he'd be like close. Like I remember, I went to a Thunder game when it was Westbrook. He was on the, he wasn't playing, but he was on the bench, and one of the dudes sitting next to me was talking shit to him. And boy, Westbrook really turned back and started talking to the dude sitting beside me.
Was that last year?
No, it wasn't last year. I think it was 2 years ago. It was in New Orleans. It was a preseason game. Okay. And he was chilling on the side. He was talking shit to. I was like, oh shit! Like you could hear him cursing and everything. If you right there, Jeremy Lamb, he had shot a three at the buzzer and he missed it and he smacked the ground. He said, "Fuck." And smacked the ground. I was like, son, like that shit. So I like, that's when I really, really, really fell in love with basketball, when I got to go to the games and really.
It changes the aspect of it.
Oh, it changes it for sure.
The vibe is so much different in there. The lights are like, bro, the lights in that stadium so bright. You get blinded.
For real.
100%. So, Faye, give me some. Okay, like we did a list with Krista, give me the top five teams you think are going to be good in the NBA next year.
Lakers. off top. Timberwolves.
Yeah. Timberwolves will be good.
Woo.
That's the one pick because the Lakers, they're going to be all right.
I'm excited to watch.
But I'm excited to watch the TT.
Oh, yeah. Timberwolves. Pelicans.
Yeah.
I want to see because I went to the last year game. I went to DeMarcus Cousins' first game.
I was there as well, I was definitely there.
I was there, so like to see that and be like, son, we got DeMarcus Cousins in here, boy, in New Orleans. We got DeMarcus Cousins.
Like, think about it, like this: we have the best center and best power forward in the game.
It was like two towers. Like it was like they were talking to this shit the whole night. Like you could just see when they was both on the ground. It was like two twin towers. Like it was. It's crazy. You got DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis on those same floor.
We just need a guard. That's all we need.
That's all we need.
So we got the Lakers, the T-Wolves, the Pels. Give me two more teams that you're excited to see this year. Who you think will be balling?
Let's see. Milwaukee.
I like oh, the boy. Big three. Giannis.
Yes, Giannis. That boy.
He's cool.
Ooh, that boy dunks last year was crazy. Yeah.
You saw him to be top.
Three player. Got to be.
Saw Kobe. Kobe did this thing on Twitter where he was giving out challenges to what he wants players to do in the next year, and his challenge to Giannis was to be the MVP.
I think that's possible. I really think that's possible. That's super possible.
One thing against Giannis is he doesn't have a jump shot. He can't shoot.
Yeah, and once he gets a shot. That's too dangerous. Yeah.
To me, Giannis is part of this unicorn group with him, Porzingis, Anthony Davis, Karl-Anthony Towns, DeMarcus Cousins, the big guys who can dribble and shoot.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that separates Giannis and Anthony Davis, because Anthony Davis to me is the best unicorn right now.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that separates them is Anthony can shoot the jumper. Giannis can't. Mm-hmm. Once Giannis gets a jumper, he might be unstoppable.
He's driving. I wouldn't even want to be nowhere by the goal while he's driving.
He is 6'11". That's crazy.
He's going to get dunked on.
He's 6'11", small forward, just balling.
I didn't realize he was
6'11". Oh, yeah, he tall, man. We got Milwaukee, Timberwolves, Pelicans, Lakers. Give me your last team that you're excited to see.
Who made some?
Celtics,
maybe with Kyrie.
Man, see, I'm super Lakers, so I never really fuck with the Celtics.
Nah, I feel that. The Thunder, you got the Thunder with
Paul. That's going to be my number five, because I want to see how Paul. That's what Westbrook needed last year. He just needed somebody, because he learned. Yeah.
From his mistakes with KD, I think he learned.
Oh, yeah. He know that he could do it. He could go hard himself.
You need that person.
You need somebody so when you pushing the gas the whole game, you could take at least a little breather and they can know.
Especially on defense.
Mike didn't win until he had Scotty. Mike needed Scotty.
And I feel like that's what's gonna happen.
And Shaq needed Kobe.
Thunder gonna be in the last four teams to the finals, I feel.
You think they're going to make the conference finals? That's what you...
Yeah.
We got a faded prediction right here, baby. Yeah, when we get close to that time, we're going to come, we're going to holler
back. I'm going to be able to really tell by the middle of the season, but Westbrook going in with the same steam from last year, and Paul George, I know how Paul George is coming, because Paul George... Yeah.
He already said he wants
to be LeBron so bad.
That's all
you get
do.
That? When Westbrook coming behind you, I don't think anything in his way, they gonna try to push it over. No matter what.
So it's Thunder and Warriors in the conference final?
I feel that.
Okay,
I feel that.
That's what's up.
I feel that.
Word. Thank you for that basketball talk, my brother Fade. All right, let's see. I want to get into. Do y'all like comic book soup? Because we are big comic book guys. We some big superhero guys. DC, Marvel.
Low key.
If you got to pick one, which one? Where you rock?
Oh, if I had to pick DC or Marvel,
where your alliances lie? Because you looking at us too. When you look at us, DC, Marvel.
It's like I'm really trying to think about it because I have so much like love for both of them on both sides. It's like I got favorites on one side and I got favorites on the other side.
Well, give me some of your favorites on each side then.
Well, definitely, if I had to pick some favorites on the DC side, you know, yeah, I feel like it's weird when I say this, but I feel like it's overdue. And I feel like I'm weirded out that nobody's ever came up with the idea before to make like a Teen Titans live action movie.
Yo,
that would be fucking legendary.
They're making a TV show.
Are you serious? Yeah. They gotta do it justice, man. Let me tell you,
Cyborg's not in it because Cyborg's in the Justice League.
Oh, okay.
So it's gonna be the main ones that are in it right now that I know of is Starfire, Nightwing, and Raven. Those are the three that have been confirmed right now.
Now see, I'm gonna be. They gotta have Beast Boy, man. They gotta have Beast Boy. He's like a comic relief, man.
He's gotta be in there.
I always liked the old school Justice League. Or what was it called, the Justice League or the Justice Friends?
Justice Friends.
Justice Friends. Like when they had Bizarro on that bitch.
Yeah.
Like that's the old
school. Versus the Legion
like,
of Doom. Yes, Bizarro, the Legion of Doom. Scarecrow, Joker, Lex Luthor.
That would be so legendary if they had that shit, brought that shit back with like the Justice League or the Justice Friends. And because they had that fucking, the Indian that got huge.
Yeah.
Native American.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Native American.
Yeah, Native American.
They had like the Wonder Twins, if I'm not mistaken.
Definitely.
They definitely had the Wonder Twins.
That's like the most coolest. Like you could transform into anything.
I might have to run with DC, man.
I fucks with
Marvel too, but it's like I fuck with the Justice League way harder than I fuck with like the Avengers or the Fantastic Four. I really fucks with X Men.
Marvel's X-Men best team. Yeah, if you look at it, it's definitely the X-Men. That's the best team. Whereas DC's best team is their heavy hitters.
Yeah, all their heavy hitters.
All on one team. Where Marvel's heavy hitters, the Avengers, it's not. It doesn't compare to the X-Men. It really doesn't.
To me, I like the Avengers, but I like all the separate. Like I like all of them separate at the same time. And I feel like them separate, they shine more than. Not saying they shine more together because the together is legendary. But you know, they had their solo projects where they really
shine.
You know,
definitely. Whereas in DC, their solo projects they shine, but that when they're together,
it's crazy.
It's fucking crazy.
It's always an event.
But let me get you excited because the movie is about to come out in November. They're gonna be fighting Steppenwolf, and Darkseid's gonna be up in there. But they say since you like the Legion of Doom, the Suicide Squad is pretty much the New Age Legion of Doom.
That's true.
And they're gonna do Justice League versus Suicide Squad eventually.
That's gonna be
legendary.
That's
my prediction because they have the comic run out right now. They've been talking about Geoff Johns is writing the Justice League versus Suicide Squad run right now.
That'll be so raw.
And that's what I'm gathering with the new after Flashpoint.
What I saw from Suicide Squad, the movie, the first one, there's no way they can keep up with Justice
League. Oh no, let me explain. They're gonna get The Rock's Black Adam in it. Black Adam's gonna be in it to fight Superman. That's why they're doing it after Flashpoint. They're gonna have Reverse Flash to fight the Flash, and then the rest to do all that other shit with Batman and Cyborg and shit.
Okay.
But word, my nigga, DC.
What happened to Deathstroke?
Yo, Deathstroke. Okay, right now he's still the villain for the Batman movie, but they're trying to figure that out. And as of now he's still the villain, but we're not sure yet.
That's gonna be tight.
I want him to be, because to me, we haven't had somebody that fight. Batman's always had in his movies so far has been a psychological threat. We haven't had the psychological with the that can match him psychologically and pound for pound fighting. Like Deathstroke is pretty much essentially evil Batman. He really is, if you look at it.
Pretty much.
With a sword,
yeah. Also, I don't know if you know, Deadpool was based off of.
Yeah, exactly. That's why his name
Wade
was
Wilson,
like
Slade
Stroke.
Wilson. Yeah,
it's so. Definitely. I like that. I like that whole concept of the Deadpool thing. I really fuck with the whole, because his character. I'm not saying it's a parody character, but it's like a comedy. Right.
No, definitely.
Like,
it breaks the wall.
It breaks the
definitely,
fourth wall.
Like it definitely breaks the fourth wall.
I'm excited for the new Deadpool movie with Cable in it. I mean, I like X Force thing. It's gonna be very bloody and gory.
I like that shit.
I'm hoping that it's not too, you know,
comedy,
too watered down.
I don't think they're gonna. I don't think they're gonna water it down.
I guess I mean watered down in its Like, I hope they just don't go too far. Try too hard, I guess, is what I'm saying.
To match the first match movie. They gotta let it flow organically.
Yeah, the first one was just set, like...
I feel like they could outdo the first one, man.
I think they can. They definitely can.
They don't have the same director. They got a new director.
They don't. Yeah, him and Ryan Reynolds had a fallout.
Hopefully it's for the better, man.
Yeah, but they have the same writers, though.
Because Ryan Reynolds has the vision, too, at the same time. He has that Deadpool vision. Like, he's the perfect guy for Deadpool.
He was born to play that. I saw his new movie, Hitman Bodyguard. It's literally Deadpool... But as like a normal human being.
Even before he played Deadpool in X-Men, he was just always Deadpool. It really fits perfectly. That's why you could kind of see why he's so passionate about it. Because like, this is literally what I was created to do.
No, definitely.
Be Deadpool. Like, he was Deadpool without superpowers in all his comedy movies.
Yeah, right? Literally. For sure.
Just that little asshole, the little asshole funniness. Yeah, like the little quips.
Yeah, 100%. So let's give some love to Marvel because we gave some love to DC. Do any of y'all watch the Netflix shows like Daredevil?
No.
My brother, please.
I really wanted to get into Luke Cage.
Luke Cage goes hard. The music, the first six episodes are great. They kill their villain. Then the next six, they have like a villain that's ahead above the villain. Not so great. It should have just been seven episodes. But it's a good series, though. You should watch it.
Get into Daredevil. Season 1, season 2.
Yeah, that's the best.
I hear a lot of good shit about Daredevil.
Daredevil's the best one, by far.
I know a lot of Flash nerds, too. Oh, like, people who, like, fuck with the Flash over everything. Oh, wait, no. That's DC.
No, but we can talk about it. Because that's a TV show.
Because it's a Netflix. You know what I'm saying? It's a Netflix original. I find the Netflix originals be doing some shit justice. You know what I'm saying? So I'll low-key try it out. You know what I'm saying?
But definitely check out Daredevil. And then if you want, watch Luke Cage. Jessica Jones I enjoy, but it's a detective show.
Yeah.
And then the Defenders when they all come together.
Definitely.
So that's another suggestion.
I see like bits and pieces of Gotham.
Oh, I'm not
I think
Gotham
it was Gotham,
fan.
Right?
Oh, man, I hate the idea of how you're going to have Batman's enemies without Batman because...
I can't do it.
That's weird.
Like, Harvey Dent is supposed to be Batman's age, but they have Harvey Dent as a guy who just got out of law school. You have the Joker there without... The only reason why the Joker exists is because Batman saw him. He saw Batman. He ran. He stumbled on his cape, fell into the vat of acid. You cannot have the Joker before Batman. You can't have any of these fucking villains before Batman. Because the only reason why they were made was because Batman came out and they were like, whoa, this guy's crazy. Let me show my craziness.
So
like, Batman is my favorite superhero, my favorite. He is, to me, the most iconic pop culture like creation. Batman is my guy, the moral behind everything. I love it. And I will not sit here and say I watch Gotham because I don't think, no, I can't get down with it. I just can't. I really can't. But I love Arrow. I really do love Arrow.
Oh, well, Arrow.
I got off
that's different.
Arrow after season 5.
The new season is fire.
Really?
The new season is fire. Yeah, for sure. Because I know season...
It became too much. There was like 30 Arrows.
Season 3 and season 4 were trash.
Yeah.
For sure.
Batman versus Superman.
You fucked with it?
It's Superman over Batman for me.
Ooh.
Just because it's like I break it down. See, me and my friend Blake, we always have this argument. We've been having this argument for years. I feel like Batman, he's a human. He's a smart human, but he is human.
Definitely.
So they could just see Batman. Like, you see him, hit him with the X-ray vision, he gone.
Oh, he
laser.
Dead.
He dead.
Definitely. Right.
But his argument is that, Batman would see that coming and wouldn't even, he would have something that just has.
You can't just say that.
Yeah, like, you can't. Okay, see, the way I look at it, I give you that argument that if they fought in, like, a situation where Batman is just, like, chilling and he doesn't know Superman's coming, like, Superman beats him 100% of the time, 100% of the time.
But if he's pre-planned it.
Batman got his ass beat, 100%.
That's where...
Can't Superman, like, fly, like, the opposite direction?
Okay, but I don't like... I hate that Superman. I don't love it. That's like, there's multiple incarnations of him, and that is definitely one of them. That's not the canon I like to go by. I like to go by the canon where Superman's just super strong, flat, freeze breath.
Laser eyes,
X-ray vision, and... can run pretty fast.
Yeah.
That's the Superman I like. I don't like when you add the, he can like look into your eyes and find the part of your brain and just blast it. He can fly around the earth, make it go back. I don't like that. When you start to overcomplicate,
that's too much.
He's invincible.
Like, you already have a guy in DC's world, Dr. Manhattan, who's the god of the the shit from The Watchmen. I don't know if y'all big Watchmen fans.
I watched the first Watchmen, but I never watched none after that.
Real, yeah. No, Watchmen is a lot, but I definitely like that argument because I agree with you 100% of the time. If Batman did not know Superman was coming, he's done. You can't do nothing about that. But if Batman got a week,
yeah.
Just give him a week, man. Just give him a week.
I'll give him that.
Give him a week. But this was awesome, man. I like you guys a lot, man. Yeah. I fuck with you guys. Like, we're going to definitely have y'all back on the podcast, and we're going to do some shit. We're going to do work together, man. I fuck with y'all. Tell the people where they can find y'all at on social media. Give them y'all Twitter, Facebook, Insta, and where they can find y'all music at.
Well, first things first, you know what I'm saying? If y'all want to fuck with the... Because a lot of people look at SJE, you know, Straight Jacket Elite, Straight Jacket Entertainment. They usually just think it's me and Fade because we're like the ones running around like really, you know what I'm saying, trying to put on. But we got my bro TJ. My bro TJ been doing a lot of shows, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
My dog Novocaine, Doom, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. We all got a big collective. Me and him are just a pair. We like do like solo shit. We kind of like a pair. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if y'all follow on Instagram, we got like Straight Jacket Elite, STR8. Jacket Elite. That's like our Instagram where you can kind of follow everything everybody's dropping because we're gonna be rolling stuff out together. Like we're gonna be rolling stuff out, like kind of organized.
So Straight Jacket Elite on Instagram.
Yeah, on Twitter it's SJE Connect.
Okay.
You know, all straight. You know, no underscores, none of that. But that's where you could really follow. You know, the whole movements as a whole. And 9 times out of 10, you're gonna see our solo pages being tagged and everything and all in the tweets or the Instagram posts, but mine is Chris SJE everywhere, no spaces. CHRISSASJE.
Word for sure. Fade, where they can find you, my brother?
Fade Bully at Twitter, Instagram, FADEBULLY.
His shit might change next week.
I'll never change my actual handle.
With the names,
yeah. Me too. Always switch it up.
Always different vibe.
I might throw Johnny Tsunami on there.
I do the same shit.
Just like a mental whoever I feel like at the time. Might switch that bitch to Big Worm.
Like you switch your mindset.
You never know. But I'll never switch my handle. It's Fade Bully everywhere. You could follow, catch all our music. You can search us on iTunes, Spotify, Tidal. We got everything on major platforms.
Okay.
We got music everywhere. I got my tape 24 on live mixtapes. I had did that tape. It was like 24 tracks. I went through like Buku Beats, and it got some songs, some other songs that we got out right now. Maybe one or two. But it's a bunch of songs. I just went over beats and just put out songs to a lot of one verses.
Word.
Not really songs, more like freestyles and one verse songs.
Dope, I'm gonna definitely check that out after. So basically, for the people, you can find them at Fade Bully, Chris SJE, and if you go to SoundCloud, you can type in either y'all's names and find y'all pages.
Yeah,
Tidal, iTunes. Go support the SJE movement, man.
Definitely. And the Straight Jacket Connect. The Straight Jacket Connect SoundCloud got a lot of like low-key bangers on
Word.
It.
Them, y'all keep on playing that Sakyo because y'all got that Sakyo at 100,000 right
Woo!
Now.
Yeah, that's super on the way, man.
Yo,
super on the way.
Yo, y'all support these brothers, man, because they good brothers, man. They good people.
Man, thank you, man.
If y'all listen to this whole interview, y'all will know that these dudes are some
if
good
you
people.
Don't know, now you know.
Now you know, motherfucker. Bros who think we only fuck with the best, you dig?
Yeah,
but thank you guys for coming, Cameron.
No
tell
problem.
The people where they
man,
can find
you
on SoundCloud.
Us.
Oh, we love y'all. Thanks, Nick, for getting us up.
Yeah, Big Nick.
I've been waiting to meet you guys, man. Like, we could definitely got some shit we could work on for sure.
Yeah, man, it's a pleasure.
I'm on Twitter at _CanJam_ and Instagram at Captain Camara.
Word up. You can find me at Berlin the Don on Instagram, at Berlin the Don on Twitter. You can find Nick on SoundCloud at Official Nick Grand. My guy Nick has a project coming, or a little single, September 15th. Is that correct? We got to support our sound engineer, baby.
Some electronic shit.
Some EDM shit. Oh, we didn't even talk about how Chris will produce.
Oh, yeah.
For the next time, when the next project comes out, we're going to talk about that.
It's
part
not
two.
Time for that right now. I'm on a hiatus from the production.
Real. We're going to definitely have a part two with Chris and Fade. Thank you guys again for coming to the Bros Who Think podcast. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you guys enjoy the rest of y'all weekend this fine Thursday afternoon. Be easy, and thanks for listening to the Bros Who Think podcast.
Peace.
Be out.
Yes,
bitch. Whoa, Kimo Sabe. Ball in my hobby. They watch and won't block me. How could they stop me? I'm full of your psyche. Chris on the beat. He snap like paparazzi. Bitch, I'm really doing this. It used to be a hobby. Lil' baby on a molly, she gone out of body. Road trip shit, bitch, running around the lobby. With a bad college chick, used to work at Follies. Who the fuck name come up when they say the hottest? Stop it, splashing by you water like I'm Bobby. Bitch, I made the wave and you just ride it.